We are doing Masechet Ta'anit, the second chapter, the third Mishnah. What we had seen is that when we have the last seven Ta'aniot, they take out the Ark into the streets. And then they have a speech by the elder. And then when they stand to daven Shmoneh Esrei, all three Shmoneh Esreis are said in an unusually lengthy way. We add another six blessings to Shmoneh Esrei. And Mishnah Gimel and Dalid will explain to us how we add the lengthy additions to Shmoneh Esrei. And really, we should learn the Mishnayot out of order. So, with your permission, I would like to skip the Mishnah Dalid and only then go back to Mishnah Gimel, because we will understand Mishnah Gimel better after we see Mishnah Dalid. Okay? So, Mishnah Dalit tells us like this. Ala Rishona Humer An Goel Yisrael. You remember we said, after Goel Yisrael, before we start Rifa'enu, we have all the six editions. So, the first one, which is Goel Yisrael, which is even before the editions, so then the Chazan adds the following. Mishanat Avraham Behar Moriah, Hu Yaneh Etchem, Veishma Bekol Tzakatchem Hayom Hazeh, Baruch Ata Hashem Goel Yisrael. Whoever heard Avraham Avinu and Har HaMoriah, and we know Avraham was the first one whose tefillos were answered so that he was saved from Nimrod. The first one to be saved thanks to his tefillot was Avraham. So whoever answered Avraham and Har HaMoriah, he will answer you, the congregation who is davening. V'yishma b'kol tzakatchem hayom hazeh, and hear your yelling on this day. Baruch ata Hashem, goel Yisrael. And then everyone answers Amin, and they blow tkiya, trua, tkiya. They say v'yavor Hashem al panav. They say v'yod gimel midos, hayom yevoenu, im kivonim. And then alashnia, hu omer. Now the second one, which is really what he's calling the second, is the first edition. He referred to the first as the first because that's really where we have the first edition. But really, Goel Yisrael is one of Shmoneh Esrei. Before we say that blessing of Goel Yisrael, we have an edition, and that's called Rishona. Alashnia, which is really the first edition, it's the second blessing, which is unusual. So that's why it's called the second. But it's really only the first blessing, which is completely unusual, that the whole blessing isn't there on any given day. Hu omer. So then the Chazan says, Mishana, he says the second blessing, and then he says, Mishana et avotenu al yamsuf uyanetchem yishmat kotzak tzem hayom hazeh, boruch ta Hashem zocher hanishkachot. So we said, we add to the Shmoneh Esrei, the first edition is Zichronos. The first edition, the first added blessing is Zichronot, which concludes with Mishanat Avtenu Al Yamsuf, whoever answered our forefathers on the Yamsuf, and the Jews were as though they were forgotten for 210 years, and finally, this nation that seems to have been forgotten and forsaken, and they're being downtrodden and beaten, suddenly God appears and takes them out. So we conclude with them, we say, whoever answered our forefathers by the Yamsuf, and showed that he hadn't forgotten them. Hu yaneh etchem, he should answer you. V'yishma kol tzakatchem hayom hazeh. Baruch ta Hashem zocher hanishkachot. Blessed are you Hashem who remembers those that seem forgotten. And that's how we conclude zichonot. And then again, we blow tkiya, trua, tkiya, and vayavor, right? Trua, tkiya, trua, vayavor, etc. Yeah?
For that, bracha is like, that includes the ten machos, right? Because that kind of doesn't happen every day where
I don't know if they would have to include the ten makos. Their point is to conclude with a point of remembering. The point of the blessing of Zichonot is to bring up our memory, so to speak, before God, for good. So the first edition is Zichonot, and that Zichonot is really the second unusual blessing, but it's the first totally new blessing for Tanis. And that concludes Baruch Hashem Zocher HaNishkachot. Al HaShlishit, on the third unusual blessing, which is really the second edition, Hu Omer, there we start Shofarot, and over there we really conclude the Shofarot with Mishanat Yoshua Bagilgal, whoever answered Joshua in Gilgal, and we know Joshua is the one that had great victories with shofar, right? He defeated the unusual fortification of Jericho with his shofar. The fortification of Jericho was a wall that was just as wide as it was high. So it was so deep that you, if you'd, let's say, knock the wall over, you'd still have a wall, because it was like a block. It was the wall was so deep they had housing inside the wall. The wall was a tremendously thick wall. That's why the verse says in the Navi that when they blew the trumpet on that seventh day of Shabbos, the wall sunk into the ground. Because had it fallen over, they would have still had a wall in front of them. God made it literally sink into the ground because of their blowing shofar. So we conclude with shofaros, when we're saying shofarot as the added blessing, who do we conclude with? Yoshua. And we say, he who answered Joshua and Gilgal, hu ya'aneh etchem, he should answer you, v'yishma kol tzakatchem hayom hazeh, and hear your yelling on this day. Notice that that is the classical conclusion for the additions. Hu ya'aneh etchem, v'yishma kol tzakatchem. Right? All the additions from Goel Yisrael, from the interjection in the blessing of Goel Yisrael to the added blessing of Zichrono, Zocher Nishkachot, and now Shomea Teruah, the Shofros, they all end just before the blessing. We say, Mi Hu Yanetchem Yishma Kol Tzakatchem Hayom Hazeh. Baruch Ata Hashem, Shomea Teruah. And then, after the blessing again, we blow Shofar, and we say the 13 attributes. Ala Revi'it, on the fourth unusual blessing, which is the third completely added blessing, Hu Omer, there the Chazan would say, he starts with Mizmar Kufchaf, and he concludes and he says, Ana Hashem Elokeinu Zchor Lanu Zchusos Shel Shmuel. Please remember for us the Zchus of Shmuel. And then he expands a little bit about Shmuel, and he says, Mi she'anat Shmuel b'mitzpah yanetchem yishma kol tzakatchem hayom hazeh. He who answered Shmuel in the mitzvah, that great hilltop, that great place where everyone gathered, he should answer you and hear your yelling today. Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tzaka. Blessed be Hashem who hears the yelling. And again we blow shofar and we say the Yud Gimel Midot. Al HaChamishit, which is really the fourth new blessing, he says, Al HaChamishit Umer, Mi Shanat Eliyahu Behar HaKarmel, he who answered Eliyahu on the mountaintop of Carmel. And we're going to see that the fifth blessing was really saying Mizmor Kuf Chaf Aleph. So then he says, Mi Shanat Eliyahu Behar HaKarmel, he who answered Eliyahu on the mountaintop of Carmel, Hu Yanetchem Yishma B'Kol Tzakatchem Hayom Hazeh, Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefilah. Last time it was Shomea Tzedaka, now it's Shomea Tefilah. So we begin Mizmor Kuf Chaf Aleph, Esoinai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. We conclude the blessing with the one who was on top of the mountain, Elio, on Har Carmel, and Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefilah. And again we blow shofar and say the Yud Gimel Midot. Huh? Because that's what we say. That's what this fourth blessing consists of, Mizmor Kuf Chaf Aleph. And then at the conclusion of Mizmor Kuf Chaf Aleph, he concludes with Mishana et Eliyahu Baal Kamel. The Mishnah doesn't tell us what the prayer is. The Mishnah tells us what are the conclusions of each prayer. The prayers themselves, we'll see in the previous Mishnah. What? Correct. So that's what Mishnah Gimel tells us. Mishnah Gimel tells us what was within the blessing. Mishnah Dalet tells us how we conclude the blessings. I always find it easier to do Dalet when I'm learning for the first time before Gimel. Because when I read Gimel, I always find Gimel confusing on its own. Now that you've seen Dalet, Gimel is going to be much easier, in my opinion. Allah Shishit Umer, on the sixth blessing, what does he say? Mi shanat yonab mimei adaga hu yanetchem yishma bekol tzakatchem hayom hazeh, baruch ata Hashem ha'oneh be'etzara. On the sixth blessing, what does he say? So the sixth blessing begins Mizmor Kuf Lamed, right? Mimamakim Kirosicha Hashem. That's the sixth blessing, as we will see in Mishnah Gimel.
What?
Yeah?
Your Mishnah.
Mishnah Dalet. On the sixth blessing. What is the sixth blessing? The sixth blessing begins with Mimamakim Kirosicha Hashem. And then he concludes with Mishanat Yonah Mimei Adaga. Yonah really went to the depths. Mimamakim. He who answered Yonah from the innards of the fish, Uya Netra Mishma Bekol Tzakatrem Ayom Azeh. On the seventh one, and the seventh, which is really the sixth, the last added blessing, is Tefillah La'aniki Yatov. So on that one, what does he say? Mishanat David ve'et Shlomo b'no b'Yerushalayim u'yanetchem mishma b'kol tzaktchem hayom hazeh, baruch ata Hashem rachem al haaretz. Blessed are you Hashem, who has compassion, who has pity over the earth. David, in his time, there was a famine, and God accepted his prayer and stopped the famine. And Shlomo, when he anointed the temple, he said, if there'll be a time of famine, Hashem, accept their prayers through this place. So he tried to alleviate famine from earth by erecting the temple. So now that we're concluding our prayers, we're asking it should rain, there shouldn't be a drought, there shouldn't be a famine. We conclude with, Baruch Hashem, Rachem al Haaretz, who has compassion over earth. Now, really, Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Dalet, if I were composing the Mishnah, I'd put them together. The Mishnah says, Ve'elu hein, Mishnah Gimel. Ve'elu hein, Zichonot. What are the added six blessings? We said there are six added blessings. So the first one is Zichonot. And on that it says in Mishnah Dalet that we conclude Zichonot with, Baruch Hashem Zocher HaNishkachot. Mishanat Avoteinu Al Yamsuf. Right? Keep your finger in Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Dalet and we'll compare. Okay? Yes, Mayor. In Mishnah Dalet it is called the second. But really it is the first completely added blessing. It is the first blessing which is a complete addition. We do have a miniature addition within a blessing, and that's why Mishnah Dalet refers to that as the first. So now let's keep a finger in Mishnah Gimel and in Mishnah Dalet together. Ve'eluhen, these are the additions to our prayer. Zichonot, that's the first addition. And Zichonot concludes with what it says in Mishnah Dalet, Al Hashniyahu Omer, on Zichonot, he concludes with, Mishanat Avoteinu Al Yamsuf. They're the ones that were remembered the most. On Yamsuf, as we explained earlier. The nation that seems to have been forgotten, after 210 years, God comes and redeems them. He who answered them, he should answer you. Keep your finger on the place. Vishofarot. And also, we add shofarot. That's the next blessing that we're going to add on the Tanis. Shofarot, back to Mishnah Dalet, on the Shlishit. We conclude who Omer. We conclude that with Mishanat Yoshua Bagilgal Huyanetchem Mishmakot Sakatchem. Because shofarot, we said, who did the most massive shofar in the world? That was Yoshua when he blew shofar over the city of Jericho. Then we add the third edition is going to be El Hashem Batzaratali Karati Vayaneni. This chapter in Tehillim, all of Mizmor Kufcha, El Hashem Batzaratali Karati Vayaneni. And then we conclude that third edition with, look at Mishnah Dalet. Mishanat Shmuel Bamitzpah, he who answered Shmuel, and he should answer you, Baruch Hashem Shomat Tzaka. Yeah? Then we add the fourth edition, Esayinai La'arim, and that whole chapter, right? That's all of chapter Kuf Chaf Aleph. And we conclude that with Mishnah Dalet. Mishanat Eliyahu Be'ar HaKarmel, he who answered Eliyahu, because we're saying, Esayinai El Ha'arim, I raise my eyes to the mountaintops, so the correspondence to that is he who answered Elio on top of the mountain.
They
yeah.
Said the Tehillim and then the conclusion?
Correct. The Tehillim and then that conclusion.
Do we know if they began the Tehillim with Shir HaMaalot?
I don't think so. The fifth edition was Mima Makim Kiraticha Hashem.
So they're just giving the titles, is it?
They're giving us the beginning of the chapter. Mima Makim Kiraticha Hashem is the beginning of chapter 130. We conclude chapter 130. And then we conclude that addition to Shmon Esrei with the blessing, Mishana et Yonah mimei adaga, he who entered Jonah from the innards of the fish, which is similar to Ma'amakim, that's really the depths. And then we add the last addition is Tefillah la'aniki yatov, a prayer for the pauper who is bent over in famine, in that whole chapter, which is Mizmor Kuf Beis. And we conclude that with Mishana David v'Shlomo v'Yerushalayim, he who entered David and Shlomo, Baruch Hashem Amrachim al Haaretz. Yatov means folded over, yeah, bent over in hunger. Be'atev olel v'yonek b'chovot kirya, the pasuk says in Eicha. Isn't that the same thing? Folded over and wrapped. That's. Let me put you this way. 10 years ago, I wasn't sure what the word meant. And when we were learning Eicha, I went to Rav Dov Feinstein and I asked him just to make sure. I wasn't 100% sure how to translate Yatov, and this is what he told me. Rav Yehuda Omer, lo haya tzrich lomar zichronot b'shofarot. Rav Yehuda says he didn't have to say zichronos and shofros. Ela omer tachtein, but rather what he'd say instead of theirs, instead of saying those, what he'd say is ha'ab ki yevaretz, dever ki yeh, all those psukim in Melachim where Shlomo HaMelech says that when Am Yisrael needs your help, Hashem, they'll turn to the Bet HaMikdash and ask you for help. They'd say those psukim instead of saying the classical zichonot of Yom Kippur, of Rosh Hashanah. Asher yad v'Hashem in Yirmiyahu el divrei batzarot, and he'd also say the chapter of Yirmiyahu Yudalid instead of shofarot. God told him about what would be with the, what are you going to do now with the droughts? V'omechot mehen. And then he says their conclusions the way we say he should conclude. He does say the conclusions of Zichonot and Shofarot. So Rabbi Yehuda says we don't say, not like Tanakama said that we say classical Zichonot Shofarot, but rather we would say the verses in Melachim and in Yirmiyahu about a drought and Hashem answering us in a time of drought. Now what needs work is Rabbi Yehuda's terminology, Lo hayat tzarich lomar. Lo hayat tzarich lomar literally means he didn't have to say, which seems to indicate you could if you want, but you don't have to. How does that work? What did Chazal institute that I could do either way? So that needs work. Mishnah Hei. Maaseh. It happened. Vime Rebbe Chalafta, in the days of Rebbe Chalafta from the city of Tzipori. Verebbe Chananya ben Tradyon. We know about him, right? She'avar echad lifnei ateva v'gamar et habrachach kula. That someone went, he was the chazan, and he concluded the blessing. He finished re'eina, and he said aneinu, and no one answered amen. All they answered was baruch shem kavod, like we say in the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says in Ezra that in the Beis HaMikdash they used to answer baruch shem kavod. That was the That's what they used to say in the Beit HaMikdash instead of Amen. So here the person is saying the blessing, asking for rain. No one says Amen, but rather because he mentioned God's name, they're giving a blessing to God's name, but they're not saying Amen on the blessing. Tiku.
What?
One
is in the middle, one is at the end of the bracha. Hashem's name is in the middle.
Right, but at the end of the bracha, they'd respond to Hashem's name, Baruch Hashem. After the bracha, that was the response.
In the Beit HaMikdash, you didn't even wait for the word. Lifnei Hashem, titaron, by Hashem, yevro.
That's different. That's the Kohen Gadol who said Hashem Amforash. But blessings that were said, when you made a bracha in the Beit HaMikdash, they wouldn't answer Amen to your bracha, they'd answer Baruch Shem to your bracha.
At the end of Hashem,
I think at the end.
So then why can't it be considered as an Amen?
Baruch Shem doesn't mean Amen. Amen means I affirm, I agree, I want it to be so. Baruch Shem means blessed be his name. That has nothing to do with my agreeing to the blessing. It's two different things.
When would they say Amen?
Amen is at the end of the bracha, and they would say Baruch Shem at the end of the bracha instead of Amen. So they're not agreeing or affirming the blessing, they're blessing God's name. It's two different things.
Would they say both?
Nope.
Okay, so the problem is not that they said Baruch Shem Tov. No.
They didn't say Amen. That was the problem. But they did not say Amen.
Instead of Baruch Shem.
Maybe they should have said both. I don't know. Let's continue the story and see. Tiku akwanim tikau. So the guy called out, the chazan called out, and told them, blow kohan and blow. We said after each blessing they would blow. They went on and said, Mishana tavam avinu behar moriya, hu ya'aneh etchem yishma bekol tzakatchem hayom hazeh. He who answered Avram Avinu, he should answer you today. And Hariu v'nei Arim Hariu, the Bnei Aaron blew trumpets. Mishana tavtenu al yamsu. Yeah? What's the problem?
This is a quote
of a story that happened. This is everything that happened in that story.
Okay, so what is the distinction between Bnei Aaron and Kohen?
Good question. Not for now. Remind me, we'll try to get back there in a minute. Yeah?
They should have said Amen. Is that what the Mishnah implies?
Let's finish the story and then see what the Mishnah is telling us. Okay. You guys, once we've paused, so we'll already pause. A guy is learning Mishnayos. This is a joke that Rav David Feinstein used to say almost frequently when he used to start the year. He'd start giving class and he said the following joke. A guy is learning Mishnayot and he reads Shor Shenogaches HaShor, and he learns the Halacha. Shor Shenogaches HaShor, and he learns the Halacha. Then he reaches a Mishnah that says Shor Shenogaches HaPoro, an ox gored a female ox. He stops and he says, wait a second, I have a deal. The Mishnayos until now all said Shor Shenogaches HaShor. Suddenly the Tana switched to Shor Shenogaches HaPoro. I wonder if anyone noticed that. Say pause. He looks in the Rav, nothing. Tosus Yamtev, nothing. Melech Shlomo, nothing. Tziyunim, nothing. Chidushim Arich, nothing. Tiferes Yisrael, nothing. Starts looking at all the Sfarim he could find. He's really tired. It's been 2 hours. He's been looking through every Sefer. He couldn't find it. So he takes out his trusty pen, makes a note in his Mishnah. Tzarech Iyun, Lama, Kosuv, Paro, Veloy, Shor, V'arev, Mishnayas Akoid, Mim, Kosuv, Shor. Why does the Tana change? We have to be ma'ayin for in previous Mishnayos the Tana writes Shor Shenogaches HaShor, and here for some reason he switched to Shor Shenogaches HaPara. Velo ra'isi shomdu akach harishonim, and I didn't notice that all the great rabbis noticed this problem. So he writes that, signs his name, says, okay, my children, at least see I learned this Mishnah. Tomorrow I'll continue the Mishnah. Spent 2 hours looking. Maybe someone addressed the question. The next day, comes back to the Mishnah, and he starts again. Shor Shenogaches HaPara, and he scratches his head and he says, "I won't get bogged down. I know it's a problem, and no one deals with it. Let's continue." V'nimtzo bara b'tzida. Oh, and you find the baby next to it, right? So it couldn't have been talking about a male ox, because the Mishnah's case is the female ox is gored, and you find the baby next to it. And the question is, did he cause the miscarriage? Did he hurt the baby or not? So Rav David Feinstein would always start class that way. He'd say, you know, there are a lot of good questions, but let's first see what the Mishnah has to say, and then let's ask all the good questions. You guys are asking good questions, but let's finish the Mishnah, and then. I didn't mean to say that here the answers are going to be so simple. But before we could see whether they're so simple or not, we should at least see the continuation. It happens to be that your questions are very, very good. Your questions are not of that nature, but we should still finish the Mishnah before we address them. So let's continue. So the story happened as follows. One was going before the ark. He was the chazan. He finished the bracha. And the Mishnah in the beginning stresses, V'lo anu achav amin. They didn't answer amin. Takua kohanim tikau. The kohanim blew. They were told to blow. And then he continued to the next bracha. Mishanat avam avinu ba'ar mo'iyahu ya'anetchem yishman b'kol tzakatchem ayom hazeh. Again, hariu v'nei aron hariu. And if you're already going to be medayik the Bnei Aaron, you should also be medayik the Hariyu, as opposed to the Taku, right? So we'll just note it. We won't address it yet, but we went from Taku to Hariyu, right? The Chazan then went on, Mishanat avtenu al yamsuf u'yanetchem yishma b'kol tzakatchem hayom hazeh. And then they blew. They blew everything they had to. וכשבא דבר אצל חכמים, and when the rabbis heard about it, אמרו, they said, לא היינו נוהגים כן אלא בשער מזרח ובהר הבית. We didn't have this custom of not answering Amen and just saying Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed. This custom was only on the eastern gate by the Har Habayis, because over there, when they'd say a blessing, so then they'd say God's hidden name. And when you hear God's hidden name, you can't just say Amen. They'd have to say Baruch Shem Kavod Olam Voed. But to say Baruch Shem Kavod outside the Temple Mount, that's not our custom. We once we're outside Temple Mount, what we say is Amen. Now, from the Pashut reading of the Mishnah, we don't read it exactly the way I said it. But the commentary seems to say that this is the correct understanding of the Mishnah. If the Mishnah meant to tell us that they shouldn't be blowing shofar this way, only in the Beis HaMikdash they blew shofar, we see that that's not that way. You see throughout Maseches Tanis and in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that wasn't so. Even in Taniyot, they blew shofar outside. There are other differences between the shofar blowing inside the Beit HaMikdash and outside. But that can't be what the Mishnah is coming to stress. So what the Mishnah must be stressing is that they didn't answer Amen, but rather Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. And then the question we have to ask is, then why did the Mishnah give us all these details? The Mishnah gives us this whole long story, and its whole point was that they didn't answer Amen, but rather they said Baruch Shem. And to that, I don't have an answer. I don't know.
What was the purpose of this whole account?
Yeah, why do we have this lengthy account? I don't know. But quite honestly, I didn't spend enough time searching. And it could be the commentaries do point out things. The commentaries that I had a quick chance to see, I didn't see that address this point, but I didn't look well enough. We have to really look. There's a lengthy Melech Shlomo here I didn't get to see. Could be it is addressed. I don't know. About Kohanim and Bnei Aaron, so in Lamdis, you will learn, Be'ezat Hashem, that a Kohen has, it's said directly about a Bat Kohen, that a Bat Kohen has two aspects of being a Kohenet. There is Kohenet, which is her own Kedusha, and there is Bat Kohen, which is the Kedusha she gets by virtue of the fact that she is the daughter of a Kohen. There are some halachot that she is problematic because of Bat Kohen, and that Kohuna she defiles. And then there are some halachot which are relevant to her because she is a Kohenet, and then the question is, can she defile those? So, for example, certain kodshim she may eat because she's a Kohenet. She has certain punishments if she is adulteress that are different than a non-Kohenet. What happens if she marries a Cholol? Which rights are lost? Which rights are not lost? Will it affect her status of Bat Kohen, or will it affect her status of Kohenet? And over here, the commentaries note that there are different versions, but it does seem to be that the Mishnah switched from Kohanim to Bnei Aaron, and then the question is why? So I don't know the reason why. The Tosos Yom Tov points out that this is the Girsah, and that seems to be that's the Girsah of the Rambam as well, that in one place it says Kohanim and the other place Bnei Aaron. I don't know the reason for it. Okay. Now, do you have any questions?
No.
I'm listening. Okay, Yosef? No questions. Yosef has no questions.
Unbelievable, but I
don't. The last thing about the eye is that they should have. Why is the Mishnah pointing out that they said that Baruch Shem and that should have they said both or just Amen?
Just Amen. They should have said just Amen.
So what about the Shem?
They in the Beit HaMikdash they said only Baruch Shem. But outside the Beit HaMikdash is not the place to say Baruch Shem, just to say Amen.
Not our custom, then it clearly means that it is someone's custom.
What did they do? They didn't answer Amen, but did answer Baruch Shem. That's what we did in the Temple Mount. We would only answer Baruch Shem. That's what they did.
So why is out that it's not our custom?
Because it is
the custom somewhere else.
Right, in the Temple Mount, it is the custom.
So When he's saying it, they made a mistake?
Correct. Okay? Mishnah Vav. You remember we said there are orders of the Taniyot. There's the three for the Tzaddikim, for the Yechidim, and then there are the three for the masses that are more lenient, and then three that are more stringent for the masses, and then seven that are more stringent for the masses. A total of 13 for the masses. Right? That's what we had seen in the first chapter. Shalosh Taniyot HaRishonot. The first three that Beis Din declared on the masses, which were more lenient, Anshei Mishmar, the Kohanim, whose family had the responsibility of the temple that week. We know the Kohanim were divided by David HaMelech to 24 Mishmarot, to 24 watchings, to a cycle of 24. Each one had their week, and within the week it was broken down to days, that they were responsible for the temple. So Anshei Mishmar, the people who were responsible for watching, they were our representatives on the Temple Mount, Mitanin, they would fast, Velo Mashlimin, but they wouldn't conclude the fast. Anshei Beit Av, and the people of the family who weren't working that day, but they were responsible for being up there, Lo Ayu Mitanin Klal, they didn't fast altogether because we didn't want them to become too weakened. Okay. Anshei Mishmar is a reference to the whole week, right? And the Mishmar was broken up into the Beit Avot that worked different days. So the whole Mishmar, meaning the whole group of family that was there for the week, they fasted but didn't conclude. The one family, the Beit Av, whose responsibility it was to serve that day, they didn't fast altogether because they were working hard. Shalosh Niyot, the second set of three, where we're slightly more stringent, there, Anshei Mishmar, Mitanin, Umashlimin, they fast completely, even though they'll be working tomorrow possibly, but still today they're not working, they fast completely. Anshei Beit Av, Mitanin velo mashlimin, they fast but they don't complete the fast.
Until when did they fast?
I don't remember until when. Lo zoche. Sheva chonot, the last seven fasts, elu velo mitanin mashlimin. Both of them, the Mishmar and the Beit Av, would fast completely. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. This is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Who is Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yeshua ben Chalafta, who was a disciple of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the disciple of, right, the small disciple of Hillel, right? Hillel's small disciples, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who had five major students: Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Lazar ben Aroch, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Yeah?
We have to learn this.
It's Mishneot and Avot. Guys, you're sitting on a bus. You don't have a saber with you. You probably have a sitter, and the guy next to you has a sitter. You could review Avot. And if you never learned Avot, it's available free online.
It's already on the internet.
The first three chapters we've done, we're working on it.
And your other
No, here, Sunday nights. We do two or three Mishnayot of Pekavot every Sunday night.
Oh.
Okay. You are there. Yes, you do attend. The Chachamim Omrim, and the rabbis say, Shalosh Taniyot HaRishonot, Eilu Veilu Lo Ayu Mitanin Klal. The rabbis are more lenient than Rabbi Yoshua. They say the first three, both don't fast altogether. Shalosh niyot, the second three, Anshei Mishmar mitanin velo mashlimin, Anshei Beit Av lo mitanin klal. Only the general Mishmar would fast, and even they wouldn't complete it. But the Beit Av, those who were working that day, on the second set of three, they wouldn't fast at all. Sheva chonot, the last seven, Anshei Mishmar mitanin mashlimin, the people of the Mishmar would fast completely, Anshei Beit Av mitanin velo mashlimin, and the people of the Beit Av, they would fast, but they wouldn't complete the fast. And I think
Chachamim are more lenient.
Correct. Chachamim are more lenient.
Who do we hold the group to? Chachamim.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I have to look it up. I don't know.